Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, August 7th, on Monday, August 17th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri. Here are our top stories this evening. Rights groups are calling on leaders of the 15-nation Southern Africa Development Community to take steps to improve the rule of law and human rights as President Mugabe handed over chairmanship to Botswana's Ian Khama today.
The scorecard for human rights in Southern Africa is not very pleasing. We see that in a number of countries, there is really a poor record in terms of human rights respect.
Zimbabwean workers in a state of panic as job losses continue with employers and labor unions at odds with the government over labor amendment bill to stem the firing of workers.
A person who is employed cannot just have their employment terminated without a good reason. And the good reasons are either you have committed an act of misconduct or the employer is unable to operate and is retraining you.
And hundreds are left out in the open as the demolition of the so-called illegal structures by the Harare City Council continues.
Most of the children are suffering from severe cold. The clinic, the local clinic, was a busy place since last week with children that are suffering from this severe cold.
This and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned. Botswana President Seretse Khama, Ian Khama, took over the rotating chairmanship of the Southern African Development Community from President Robert Mugabe at the ongoing annual Heads of State Summit in Gaborone today. The summit is being held under the theme Accelerating Industrialization of SADC Economies Through Transformation of Natural Endowment and Improved Human Capital. Khama already has a long list of political problems and rising tensions in Madagascar, Lesotho, Swaziland, and potentially Zimbabwe to deal with as SADC chair. The opposition MDCT has dispatched a representative team to lobby Mr. Khama to put Harare on the SADC agenda, arguing that the political situation in the country is fast deteriorating. In his opening remarks, Mr. Khama called for, quote, collective efforts in ensuring that we are successful in our endeavors to transform the SADC region into a better place, envied throughout the world as beacon for political stability and economic prosperity, of court. Mr. Mugabe also addressed the same summit.
Your Majesty, Excellencies, and dear colleagues, our region continues to exhibit political maturity and remains a shining beacon of democracy on the continent. During the past year, six countries conducted free, fair, and credible elections. In that regard, I wish to congratulate heads of state and government and the peoples of Botswana, Lesotho, Mauritius, Mozambique, Namibia, and Zambia for the exemplary manner in which they conducted their respective elections. SADC prides itself as the most peaceful and stable region on the continent. This has not come on a silver platter, but is a result of tremendous sacrifices in both human and material resources. And since the days of our liberation struggle, we have persistently and consistently worked to promote peace and security, the vital ingredients for sustainable development.
President Robert Mugabe in Gaborone, Botswana. Meanwhile, rights groups are calling on leaders of the 15-nation SADC to take steps to improve the rule of law and human rights as they meet in Botswana. Human Rights Watch and a coalition of African groups issued statements ahead of the summit with a particular focus on the SADC's now-suspended tribunal. Senior researcher Dewama Vinga with Human Rights Watch tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that SADC must take concrete steps to improve rights issues in the region.
The scorecard for human rights in Southern Africa is not very pleasing. We see that in a number of countries, there is really a poor record in terms of human rights respect. We have, for example, Angola, where journalists are under siege and various draconian laws are being used to persecute them. We also have Zimbabwe, where again the scorecard is bad. We have Itai Zamara, an activist, now missing for over 5 months. We have over 20,000 displaced people in Chingwizi, Tokwe Mkosi flood victims, whose rights are being violated, and the government of Zimbabwe has effectively turned its back on them. We also have challenges in countries like Swaziland, where the absolute monarchy is also trampling on people's rights. There is no clear separation of powers or autonomy or independence of the judiciary. And in other countries like South Africa, where one would have thought that everything is fine, we are beginning to see a very bad trend where the authorities are disregarding human rights. For example, most recently, when South Africa defied a court order and refused to arrest or detain the Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir.
Mr. Kama is taking over as the SADC chairperson. Do you think he's going to address some of these issues that you are raising?
It looks like he would do better than Mugabe in terms of human rights respect. But there are also challenges because of the dismemberment of the SADC tribunal. Botswana voted alongside Zimbabwe to strip the tribunal of the power to receive individual cases.
That was Human Rights Watch senior researcher Dewa Mavinga on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa. Meanwhile, the president of the Association of the SADC Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Oswald Bina, tells Blessing Zulu that business leaders in the region feel left out by SADC leaders.
The SADC template has not really changed. We have always had recognition on paper, but in terms of actual engagement and influence what happens in SADC policy direction, it's barely on a consultative basis. We are not at the table, but on the table. However, that does not make us stop from really putting up our position to ensure that we have informed the processes in some way. It's naturally a public sector weakness in all member states that they, you know, regard their private sectors with suspicion. They are not partners. They only recognize that they are economic players from which they can collect taxes.
But compared to fellow regional countries, how is Zimbabwe faring?
Look, Zimbabwe is still in some teething problems economically. We have, as Zimbabweans, a responsibility to ensure that we certainly create a dashboard around which we can converge on where we are as an economy, where we want to go as an economy, and what key national objectives are.
President Oswald Bina of the Association of SADC Chamber of Commerce and Industry speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Meanwhile, ordinary Zimbabweans are excited that President Robert Mugabe has handed over the SADC chairmanship to Botswana President Kama Seretse Ian Kama, saying maybe Mr. Mugabe will use the time to concentrate on solving the economic and social problems affecting the country. Ivan Chufera reports from Harare.
Although the position handed over to Mr. Kama today is largely ceremonial, many Zimbabweans believed with the hype given to the chairmanship by the authorities that it could bring good tidings to the country with Mr. Mugabe at the helm. But Mufako's resident Johnson Chirwa says, overall, the men on the street had not benefited from Mr. Mugabe's chairmanship of the regional bloc, adding, if anyone came out with something, it was the president himself who benefited by attending meetings, conferences with his counterparts in the region.
For Zimbabwe in particular, it has only been a drain on the fiscus in travel fees, delegations, whatever, to solve other people's problems, running away from his own problem.
Marimba resident John Mulilo welcomes President Ian Kama as the new SADC chair. He says the tough-talking Kama may just be persuaded to add Zimbabwe onto the SADC agenda.
We have problems in the SADC region which we haven't solved. What I'm going to say to you is I hope Botswana, having taken over the chairmanship, probably they will solve one or two issues.
Emily Moyo of Eastleigh says while relinquishing the SADC chairmanship will give President Mugabe time to focus on his own country, not much will change given that he is allegedly surrounded by corrupt people.
He had a lot of time to act on those problems, and being a SADC chair doesn't change anything. I don't think you act to resolve the problems that Zimbabwe is currently facing at the moment.
Melanie Gumbo of Bindura says Mr. Mugabe did well as SADC chair and deserved some rest.
He managed to deal with the crisis happening in Southern Africa. And for us as Zimbabweans, it was a great job for him, though we are worried about his health.
Simbarashe Matwimbo said, given that SADC's focus is currently on industrialization and economic transformation, the region can tap from the Zimbabwe Agenda for Sustainable Socio-Economic Transformation, Zima said, President Mugabe's economic blueprint. Moyo, however, said, while Zima said is good on paper, the jury was still out since not much has yet changed in the lives of ordinary people.
His ZANU-PF and President Mugabe are very good at coming up with very good strategies on paper. But when it comes to implementation, there is not much implementation.
Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Zimbabwean workers are in a state of panic following a Supreme Court ruling allowing companies to dismiss workers without terminal benefits. All this as the country's economy continues to grind to a halt, with job losses being recorded every day. Labor representatives' bodies are calling on the authorities to urgently review the country's labor laws and put in place policies that will help revive the national economy and create more jobs. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Following the Supreme Court ruling that has set tongues wagging across the country, more than 20,000 workers in private and public institutions have lost their jobs, according to the country's main umbrella labor body, the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, or ZCTU. One of the affected workers, Lynette Kuparo of Harare, tells VOA Studio 7 that life outside employment is painful.
You know, it's just difficult that today I work, tomorrow you wake up, you are just jobless. Like, it's difficult.
The ZCTU says those affected by the Supreme Court ruling have joined millions of Zimbabweans that are not in formal employment, further increasing the unemployment rate to almost 90%, a report released by the Zimbabwe National Statistical Agency, or ZIMSTATS, before the ongoing job cuts, says slightly over 700,000 people were formally employed countrywide. ZIMSTATS argues that only 11.3% of the population is unemployed, but analysts say that cannot be true, especially after the country has been turned into a vendor nation, with job losses being recorded daily. In 2013, ZIMSTATS Director General Zinochkiwe Mutasa dismissed the claims by the opposition and economists that more than 85% of the country's 13 million people were unemployed. The country's unemployment rate changes depending on who you are talking to. Statistics don't lie, so the saying goes, but everyone here, from government to the opposition officials, employers and labor unions, all have been using the so-called statistics to support their claims. What is clear on the ground is that the available data is unreliable and that many Zimbabweans are now vendors who are not paying any taxes. However, ZCTU General Secretary Japhet Moyo says the job losses have worsened the livelihoods of many people countrywide, considering that most workers were already earning salaries that were below the poverty datum line.
This is no longer a labor issue. It is a national crisis for now. When you have kids unable to go back to school, when people are unable to take care of their medication, when people are not able to pay their rentals, when you have migration from the urban to the rural because people have lost their jobs, it's now a national crisis.
This was echoed by the board chairman of the Zimbabwe Labour Centre, Mnyaradzi Gwisai, who says the current situation on job losses has taken Zimbabwe back to the colonial era.
The effect of this judgment is to do away with sections, potentially do away with Section 65. Section 65 deals with the labor rights of employees under the Declaration of Rights. who is now going to join a trade union, who is now going to strike, which woman is now going to go on maternity leave, which woman is now going to challenge bosses who sexually harass them if they can be dismissed on 3 months' notice.
In an effort to address the current labor crisis, President Robert Mugabe has called on lawmakers that were on recess until September to reconvene tomorrow to consider the Labor Laws Amendment Bill. But Moyo says the ZCTU is not happy with some of the proposals in the bill and further complained that Labor, as a partner in the National Tripartite Negotiating Forum, was not consulted before the formulation of the bill. Moyo tells Studio 7 that his Labor body will present written submissions to Parliament on the bill.
In fact, there are more negative things in that bill than people are reading on the press. I think what is happening now is people are concentrating on a one provision, the provision to do with the termination of employment. But there are other provisions in that bill.
Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe Director John Mufukare says employers are also not happy with some of the provisions of the bill.
The employers are looking at the long-term implications of the bill on the economy. His Excellency is on record as having said that we need foreign investment. And we are of the opinion that some aspects of this bill will act in direct contravention of His Excellency's intended wishes.
Labour Minister Priska Mfumira requested questions in writing and had not responded at the time of going to air. Meanwhile, former ZCTU General Secretary, who is now the leader of the main opposition movement for Democratic Change Party, Morgan Tsvangirai, says more workers could lose their jobs as the passage of the bill may take some time.
I said at May Day, the biggest challenge that ZCTU will face is a situation where a balance between job protection and job creation. And some would say it's better to create jobs even under the worst conditions. But at the same time, we also know that you cannot have unbridled labor standards. They had to be in terms of international labor standards. That's why people go to the ILO.
The former premier says labor representatives should now reflect on themselves and speak with one voice as they confront the government over the labor crisis.
When labor is under siege, the only way for labor is to fight back. Fight back by mobilizing, educating the workers, fighting for space.
As the job losses continue to affect many Zimbabwean workers, ZCTU is urging government to create an investor-friendly climate that would see the injection of foreign direct investment into the country's national economy. As most companies continue to close shop, Moyo says laws such as the Black Empowerment Regulations should be done away with. Some economic analysts say the continuing job losses and company closures are negatively impacting the growth of the country's economy and further impoverishing more Zimbabweans. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Attorney Lovemore Maduku representing fired Zuva Petroleum workers, whose case ignited the Supreme Court ruling resulting in the massive job losses, is welcoming the Labour Amendment Bill, which was gazetted on Friday.
In fact, that is what we have always thought our law to be. A person who is employed cannot just have their employment terminated without a good reason. And the good reasons are either you have committed an act of misconduct, or the employer is unable to operate and is retrenching you, or you have agreed. If there's no such thing, you cannot just have your employment term. That's what the law is now doing. There's one weakness, of course, of the law, that it is proposing a minimum retrenchment package of 2 weeks' pay for every year worked, which is not enough. And that is the only weakness of the bill. But otherwise, everything else about it is good.
But some are already arguing that the bill seeks to infringe on employers' rights. What's your reaction?
Well, I think those people are not understanding the role of labor law or employment law. Whenever there is a relationship between an employer and an employee, it is obvious that the employer is more equal. The employer is more powerful. So when laws come into place, they come into place to assist the weaker party. The weaker party is the employee. And the employee is being assisted by law by just raising minimum conditions, giving them some rights of sorts.
That was lawyer and National Constitutional Assembly President Lovemore Maduku in Harare. Direct from Washington. Now a time for the regional and international news. South Sudan's President Salva Kiir has today refused to sign a peace deal aimed at ending the country's 20-month civil war. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi signed a new anti-terrorism law yesterday that calls for death penalty and life sentences for some offenses, while also threatening hefty fines for false reporting on terror attacks. And a Norwegian migrant rescue ship docked today in Sicily, ferrying another 416 migrants to the shores of Europe, but also carrying the bodies of 49 victims who died on their perilous Mediterranean passage from Africa. And in our health section today, we are looking at the continuing housing demolitions in some parts of Harare, where hundreds of families have been left out in the open. The Harare City Council maintains the houses were constructed illegally and that they, in themselves, were health hazards. The local authority says it is trying to secure land on the outskirts of the capital to resettle these families. Non-governmental organizations have taken action to assist the displaced families until they are relocated to avert possible disaster health-wise. Some of the affected residents in Budiriro had constructed their houses under Ngungunyane, Tembwe, and Tabudira cooperatives. Residents say they now fear they could be affected by illnesses, dysentery, diarrhea, and even typhoid as families, especially young children, have been left to live in unhealthy conditions. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Carlos Machingura of Together as One cooperative in Budiriro, who says people are living in deplorable situations following the demolitions.
In this pattern occurring, some families are still sitting in the open, and I'm told that some NGOs are running around to make sure that they bring some comfort to those families in the form of shelter and some water bottles. But I haven't been to the place as of today to check on the development. But I'm told something is just in the offing for the affected families. Because remember, we are just coming out of the winter, and April was just the feeling for those families. And I'm not too sure now about the schoolboy children. How are they coping as of now?
What are some of the illnesses that you are hearing that even young children are suffering from?
As of now, I think those are the most prevalent illnesses that are taking, those illnesses that are associated with winter. So most of the children are suffering from severe cold. The clinic, the local clinic, was a busy place since last week. With children that are suffering from this severe cold. Those are the diseases that have made known to us as of now.
Are there any issues with accessing water or even accessing toilets? How are people faring on that issue?
Apparently at Tembwe, which was destroyed last week, they'd sunk some septic tanks. So I'm not sure whether septic tanks are still working, but I doubt very much. So I think there is a problem here. There's a crisis of sanitary crisis. Maybe people have to use maybe nearby bushes, which is very unhealthy, especially in an urban setup like ours.
And moving forward, what is the next steps for many of these families? What are they looking forward to? And has council or even the government itself availed themselves in what is the next move?
I think it's very difficult because if you look at the situation like Tembwe, most of the families, breadwinners had been sent from work. They've lost their jobs in this ongoing job cut. And so most of us were just thinking that they at least got a permanent dwelling. But as of now, I think most of them will have to relocate to their respective rural areas, especially for those who have places to go. But I'm afraid because some of the families are of foreign origins, like Malawians and Mozambican, so it's very difficult at the moment. Plus, we haven't heard anything from government. Because the last time they were talking about displacement of these people. They were saying that council will have to look for alternative places to give those people before they carry out the demolition. But as of now, when the demolition was carried out, we never heard of any alternative place that had been put aside for those families.
Carlos Machingura of Together is One Housing Cooperative in Budiriro, speaking with Studio 7 star Tenda Gumbo. And in our sports segment, former Warriors and Black Leopards coach Sandy Chizambra continues to find the going tough in the Castolaga Premier Soccer League. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us of Chizambra's latest adventure.
Chizambra, formerly known as Sunday Marimo, yesterday succumbed to his sixth defeat in seven Castolaga Premier Soccer League games that he has been in charge of ZPC Kariba after his Katuruturu side conceded a last-minute goal to lose 2-1 to Dynamos. The only point Chizambra has picked out of a maximum 21 points was a goalless draw away to Cholocho Pirates, but the coach blamed what he called amateurish defending after Roderick Mtuma grabbed the Dynamos winner deep in injury time.
I'm very disappointed. After fighting for all this way for 90 minutes and you can see this, a simple goal, a simple header, I'm very disappointed.
The defeat has seen last season's runners-up drop to 12th position, just one slot above the relegation zone, while Dynamos have moved up to third, 5 points behind leaders Chicken Inn, who are on 37 points. Dynamos coach Tony Ryan Diraya paid tribute to his players, saying they fought until the last minute of the game and deserved the last gasp winner.
A game of football is played over 90 minutes, and I think my boys pushed to the last minute, and that's how we got the goal. We kept on pushing.
Chicken Inn maintained their top of the table position with a 2-0 spanking of Chapungu, while Triangle stayed just 2 points behind after their 2-0 away win over Cholocho Pirates. The Pirates are now in trouble as they occupy the last relegation position with 16 points from 18 matches, the same as ZPC Kariba. However, the biggest casualties of the weekend were Haumine, who were thumped 5-1 by neighbours Highlanders. Haumine dropped significantly from 3rd to 6th, while Highlanders now occupy 8th position with 25 points. However, coach Bongani Mafu feels Boso should be at the top of the leaderboard.
We're still in hell. We need to get out of there. It is nice for today, but I sleep and wake up tomorrow morning with the nightmare that I'm at the bottom. So it's something that we need to work at.
Also smiling were the Green Machine of Capes United, were 1-0 winners over Flame Lily. The Green Machine have been inconsistent since the departure of Mark Harrison, but this time around, they were celebrating. One of their fans, Last Mtemangira, could not hide his delight.
Thank you so much, Slipper.
The other premiership results were as follows. FC Platinum 2, Wange 0. Wawa 1, Buffaloes 1. Harare City 2, Dongoso Mills 0. As the premiership enters week 19, the top four teams are Chicken Inn, 37 points, Triangle, 35 points, Dynamos, 32 points, and FC Platinum, 31 points. The bottom four are Cholocho Pirates, 16 points, Wawa, 15 points, Flame Lily, 14 points, Dongoso Mills, 12 points. Now to rugby. The Sables' dream of a first Africa title in 3 years went up in smoke after the Zimbabweans were humiliated 80-6 by World Cup-bound Namibia over the weekend. The Sables, however, will take comfort in the fact that they will retain their place in Africa Cup Group 1A next year by virtue of reaching this year's final. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead the discussions about the ongoing SADC summit with President Robert Mugabe handing over the chairmanship of the bloc to Botswana President Ian Khama. And now to recap today's top stories. Rights groups are calling on leaders of the 15-nation Southern African Development Community to take steps to improve the rule of law and human rights as President Mugabe handed over chairmanship to Botswana's Ian Khama today. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.